You're listening to The 21st. I'm Mary Hansen. Many of us have probably experienced the hassle of a delayed flight or a lost bag when flying commercially, but what if the luggage has a life-saving organ? Thousands of organs are transported by airlines every year. A recent investigation by Kaiser Health News and the Investigative News podcast Reveal explore what happens when those organs get lost in transit. Janelle Alicia is a senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News and reported this story. She joins us now to explain more. And for an Illinois perspective, we're joined by Kevin Smunt, CEO of Gift of Hope, which coordinates organ donations in much of Illinois, and Rachel Bounds. She's a registered nurse and transplant coordinator at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Welcome to the 21st.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Janelle, what prompted you to start looking into organs being lost on commercial flights?
Well, I have covered transplant issues for quite a while, and I'm very interested in all of the facets of it. But when I heard in December of 2018 that a heart had been left behind by accident on a Southwest flight and got halfway from Seattle to Dallas and had to turn around, I wondered what was up with that. Now, that heart was being used for valves and tissue and wasn't being, there wasn't a patient waiting for it for transplant. But it made me start to wonder how often organs actually were transported on commercial flights.
And so what did you find? How common is it for there to be a human organ traveling on your flight to Chicago or Dallas?
Sure. There's not a lot of concrete data, but talking to folks in the transplant community, and especially at UNIS, the United Network for Organ Sharing, the experts there estimated that there are maybe 10 organs a day that are being moved on commercial air.
So that seems, that's a higher number than I would have expected. And in your reporting, you found that there are a couple of cases of organs being on the wrong flight. We have a clip here describing a similar situation. This is Kim Young, the Our Legacy organ recovery donor. This organ was trying to get from Orlando to North Carolina.
So I remember getting the call. She told me that she had placed the kidney. And I said, okay, and I went back to sleep.
Kim has worked 3 24-hour shifts this week. She's catching any rest she can. Eunice takes over managing the transportation, and the kidney gets on the first leg of its journey, leaving Orlando at 7 p.m. It has 12 hours to get to its final destination, North Carolina.
Orlando, flight attendants, please prepare the cabin for departure.
The kidney is supposed to make a connecting flight in Atlanta.
And I just remember the phone ringing, and I answered it, and she said the kidney did not get on the flight. And she said the surgeon in North Carolina is having a fit. And then I called Jenny.
Kim's words were, "We have a problem."
That was Kim Gordon, an organ recovery coordinator, speaking to reporter Janelle Alicia of Kaiser Health News. Janelle, as you mentioned, UNOS, the United Network of Organ Sharing, which oversees the nation's transplant system, it keeps track of failures where a patient ends up not receiving the organ that they're supposed to. Do we know how many of those cases are related to travel issues?
UNOS keeps track of, has just recently started keeping track of a small subsection of organs that are transplanted in the U.S. Typically, they handle organs that may be difficult to place. And so from their data, which is has only been kept for a short period of time, over roughly 4 years, we reviewed about 8,800 records, and we found that over the time period, nearly 170 organs failed to be transplanted after transportation problems, and nearly 370 organs had what they call near misses, where they were critically delayed between 2 and 12 hours.
So those delays can cause some serious problems, it sounds like, on the other end, on the hospital and where they're going to be completing the transplant. And Rachel, I want to bring you into the conversation here. You work as a certified transplant coordinator at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. What's your reaction to hearing that some organs are delayed in getting to where they need to go?
I think that first, we as our center have not experienced that. We've not had any organs that have been accepted from outlying centers that required flight transportation that we've had where the organ has been lost to our center. We have had instances where our organs have been delayed up to 2 to 4 hours before they could catch the next flight, and so that's postponed our surgical start time.
And so what are the risks or challenges when those delays happen?
The biggest challenge with that is the longer that the organ is outside of that donor body and not yet into the recipient body, there's no perfusion to the kidney. So it can delay the starting functioning of the kidney. And sometimes if a patient is currently on dialysis, even after we successfully perform the transplant surgery, they'll need to continue to receive dialysis for a short period of time while that kidney is regenerating and starting to work again once we have sewn it into the recipient.
So it takes a little longer to get started there. And so when the organ is being transplanted, how long can kidneys be out of the body, and what's the sort of typical travel time between one place to another?
Well, each center has their own inclusion and exclusion criteria for how long they will accept an organ outside of the donor body. I can speak just specifically to Memorial. Our target time is 18 hours. We as a center do not accept organs that have what we call a cold ischemia time, or a time outside the donor body yet into the recipient, of greater than 24 hours. Our average time from when we're notified of an organ offer from when we go into the OR, the quickest is usually about 12 hours, and then sometimes it can be up to a couple days depending on the complexity of the donor case and how many organs are being allocated through UNOS.
So a really tight time frame there. And Janelle, many of the organs that travel commercially are kidneys, is that right?
That's right. Most of the organs that travel commercially are kidneys and some pancreases.
Yeah. And so, Kevin, you're the CEO of Gift of Hope. What was your reaction to hearing Janelle's story?
Well, I think, first of all, we're really blessed because we're located in Chicago, which is a transportation hub. We have our own transportation department, so we drive most of our organs around. So when we are sending a kidney down to Springfield, we have our own transportation people who can manage that. And that gives us a nice advantage. And we obviously have a lot of flight options. There were a couple of things. In my 7 years at Gift of Hope, we've not had an organ lost due to transportation issues. But just to put this in perspective, as a country, we discard about 5,000 organs a year that are recovered for transplant, but then deemed not transplantable by transplant programs for a variety of reasons. They might be older donors or donors that had hypertension, or biopsies on the organs show some glomerulosclerosis and things like that. And so, when I read that it was 170 organs over, I think, 5-year period, that pales in comparison to, say, the 1,500 kidneys that are being discarded above and beyond what would be the normal discard rate for those kind of organs, simply because of the way the system is set up. The other thing I would say is, kidneys are the most frequent, but I believe that's going to change in the future. We're changing some allocation policies to provide broader sharing of organs over larger geographic regions, and the idea is to reduce disparities in access, which is a noble goal, but it's creating logistical challenging problems. The tradition of having, for example, a liver surgeon fly into a city to do a recovery and then recover the organ, fly back, and then do the transplant really isn't going to work. So, for example, at our organization, we have our own recovery surgeons for liver and kidney, and we'll actually, if we place an organ out of state, we'll recover that organ, package it, and we will send it. But we don't use commercial airlines for those because the time frames for things like livers and lungs and hearts is much, much shorter. So we actually charter planes to make those deliveries.
Yeah, so those are a little higher risk, need to make sure that there's less room for for error. And Janelle, getting back to the issues that you covered with transportation and logistics issues, it sounds like they're maybe not happening in Illinois as much. But for your story, you spoke with a surgeon in Iowa, David Axelrod, who had this to say.
You know, if Amazon can figure out when your paper towels and your dog food is going to arrive, it certainly should be reasonable that we ought to track life-saving organs which are in chronic shortage.
And so, Janelle, why is it not that easy to sort of just say, can't we just do it like Amazon does?
Right. You know, because Amazon has control of its system from start to finish. And the transportation system for organs is much more piecemeal, from what experts told me, much more cobbled together, where we have this system of 58 organ procurement organizations that are all responsible for transporting organs to transplant centers. And they all use different couriers, either ground transportation or, in the case of kidney and pancreas, the commercial airlines. And from what experts told me, they feel like some, not all, some feel like they don't have control over what happens to the organs after they leave the hospital, that the couriers and the airlines don't have consequences if these problems occur. Because it is such a piecemeal system. And, you know, what Dr. Axelrod was speaking to was the issue of, you know, like GPS tracking of these organs. And that's not required. And overall, no tracking is required of these organs from end to end. The tracking that Eunice did or does now only started really robustly in 2016. And so there are no other records or data about what occurs when these organs are shipped this way, or what occurs when actually all of the organs are shipped. There's a proposal out that would require stricter tracking of organs, but it's still under review. And so that was a surprise to me. Some airlines do use GPS tracking, but in the case of the situation that we were describing in our story, there weren't enough GPS trackers. The folks at one end of the system weren't sending them back to the airline hub in Atlanta, so they didn't have them to put on the organ. So
so sort of a disconnected system.
Exactly,
there.
A disconnected system that nobody is overseeing.
Yes, that oversight. We'll come back to that in a moment. But Rachel, you mentioned that the Illinois system is a little bit different. How do you track the organs that are coming into Memorial?
Well, as Kevin alluded, we have, once they get to Chicago, they have their own courier service, which we have online access to where we can log in and we can actually see a little vehicle icon that will alert us to through GPS where it is, and there's certain critical points as far as travel time that we will notify our OR staff to get them prepared. However, I think when I read this article, one thing that bears bringing up that Janelle did a great job talking about was the change in practice following the September 11th attacks and how it used to be that OPO coordinators would put the transplantable organ on the airline. And now since then, because of security changes, they're actually giving it to a receiving clerk that is employed through the airlines, and then they're taking ownership of that package. I've been with the transplant center for 10 years now, and I would say that I think that is probably the biggest issue from my standpoint that we've seen is just the ownership of that organ through an OPO just going to a general person who maybe doesn't quite understand the emphasis and the timeliness of the package in which they're receiving.
Yeah, and Janelle, that is something that you mentioned in your reporting. Kevin, I wonder what your thoughts are on that and what you would like to see change when it comes to how organs are transplanted. Or excuse me, transported.
Yeah, thanks. I think, you know, in terms of the GPS tracking, I think there's no reason not to do it. We have pretty much that system in place. My experience is, though, that the challenges that occur in getting organs to where they need to be tend to be the normal challenges you have, like a snowstorm or a thunderstorm, you know, interruptions in service. And I think one thing to remember, unlike Google or Amazon, I should say, We operate 24/7. We operate in every single type of weather condition. Whether there's, you know, a 4-foot snowstorm, we're still sending staff out to recover organs, and we have to get them to where they need to be. And so in a system where you have to operate in every possible conceivable circumstance, and you have to be in every hospital across the state, regardless of access to transplantation or transportation, you're going to have challenges. That a GPS
sort of leaving the...
certainly, you know, it'll be nice to have, but it's frankly not going to stop it from snowing and closing down the airport once in a while. And we just
those,
have
those
to
same
creative.
Challenges that we have to face as commuters, as people who use that. And Janelle, in the minute that we have left, I know you mentioned that there's calls for more oversight. What will you be following in the coming weeks and months when it comes to organ transportation?
Sure. There are several issues that we'll be following. One thing is that after our story was published, Senator Chuck Grassley and three other members of the Senate Finance Committee asked Eunice, citing our story and other media reports, about these issues, about transportation issues and other issues, to talk about the general oversight of the transplant system in the U.S. I know the Association of Organ Procurement Organizations has told me that they are establishing a task force to develop recommendations for how organs should be handled during shipment. And I've heard from other experts, OPOs, who say that they are grateful that this issue has been raised so that it can be fixed. I mean, you know, there are a number of issues transporting and transplanting these critical organs all across the U.S. The transportation part seems to be possibly a fixable problem. And so that's what I'm hearing is that maybe it will be actually addressed.
So that's one area where we might see some change. That's all the time we have for now. I'd like to thank Janelle Alicia, who reported this story for Kaiser Health News. We've also been joined by Rachel Bounds, transplant coordinator at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield, and Kevin Schmunt, CEO of Gift of Hope in Illinois. Thank you all for joining us.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.